everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the show. I appreciate you taking the time to check us out. If you've never heard Garden Fork Ready before, it's me, Eric, and a cast of characters that I call friends. Today is a solo show. You've got me, and I have the air conditioning turned off because it makes a heck of a noise, and you can't really record a podcast with a loud noise in the background. It's not really good to listen to. I get kind of picky, actually, about podcasts because I listen to them in the car, and sometimes they're not really well audio-wise produced, even like the high-end ones, so I'm trying to get better. If you have any suggestions for that, let me know. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. Today, I wanted to talk about working in your community and smoking salmon in a cardboard box and how that all melds together. Right? So we're in Brooklyn, it's raining, it's a Monday morning, and I thought, you know, let's just start. I think that's the hardest part, is just starting. I found that if I start working right away in the morning rather than noodling around, I get a lot more work done, and then I figure, okay, at the end of the day, I can do something that's kind of goof-offish. Like in the garden, I got to pull a bunch of weeds, but I thought, I'll go pull weeds later on in the day, because I found that I am most focused in the morning, and I'm very focused right now. So there you go. This weekend, I gave a talk at our local historical society up in the little town we live in. And they called and they said, Kimberly, one of the board members of the historical society called me and said, hey, would you give some sort of presentation this summer at our one-room schoolhouse, which is a historically restored one-room schoolhouse, which was moved from a piece of land that was being developed. They literally moved it across the street to this field, and it's right in the corner, and it has authentic school desks in it and a giant wood stove. And it's pretty cool. So I said, why don't we talk about foraging in your yard to make a salad and how to smoke salmon in a cardboard box? And they said yes. And I was like, oh boy. So, and they asked me for like a photo and a bio. So I pointed them to the website. If you go to gardenfork.tv/about, there's the story of Eric's world right there. And they kept on emailing me, do we need anything to do to prep? I'm like, no, I just show up and talk. I guess they're used to being more hands-on and getting prepared. I guess more people are more organized than I am, but I already know what I'm going to talk about. And, well, I know the basic outlines of it, and I have some talking notes, but I'm much better at talking on the fly than reading from a script. So some of my best stuff is just on the fly. So you just turn the camera on and don't turn it off. That's kind of a secret to making videos, by the way. Shoot a lot more than you think you need. If you just turn the camera on, say your thing, and turn it off, you're not going to get the good stuff, which is why we have a podcast, so I can just talk like I'm talking right now. But anyway, I didn't think anybody would come to this thing. I mean, they put out some flyers at the general store, and I have a local email list I built for the community, which we're going to talk about later in the show. And it's a small town. There's, what, 1,200, 1,300 people? And 18 people came. It was like 5 to 2, which was when the show was going to start. And there was no one there. And all of a sudden, boom, all these people showed up. But a lot of people walked, and then some people drove. So I was really surprised. So I had, in the morning, gone around and picked out a bunch of what are considered weeds, but edible foods. And unfortunately, it's hay season right now in town. So a lot of the fields I thought I'd go into, especially the one right surrounding the schoolhouse, had just been mowed for hay. So I went down the road to another town that they hadn't done the fields yet, and I grabbed a bunch of stuff. But it's the kind of thing where you're driving by in the highway and you like Japanese knotweed is edible. In the springtime, when it's young, the shoots are just coming through the ground. It's kind of like asparagus. At this point in the middle of the summer, it's pretty woody and you don't want to eat it. But I grabbed some anyway. I mean, it wasn't like it's a rarity around here. So, and I just basically talked about each plant. And as I talked about it, the plant was passed through the audience. And I was surprised at the number of people taking notes. And I was like, look, just buy these books. My favorite one is by Leda Meredith, who's been on the show. excellent foraging expert. And it's foraging for the Northeast of the United States. So I'll link to that in the show notes here. But it went off really well, and it kind of got me thinking about doing things in your community. And there are these billboards down on in Waterbury, Connecticut, if you're going north on Route 8, if any of you are in that area, there's this giant billboard with a picture of Nelson Mandela and this giant headline that just says, "What can one person do?" And then smaller, it says, "Inspiration, pass it on." And it's from a nonprofit group called values.com. And I'm sure a lot of you know the overarching story of Nelson Mandela, but he tried to work for change in apartheid, South Africa, and he was sentenced to life in prison, basically to hard labor, cracking rocks, in a not very nice prison, and I believe it was an island off of South Africa. And yet, he affected an enormous amount of change. So it's really kind of starts with just one person. And I'm not going to change the world with smoking salmon in a cardboard box or, you know, weeds in your yard that you can eat. But maybe I could get a couple people to not spray weed killer in their yards and think about a diversity. I know it's kind of an overused word, but, you know, there's a lot of flora and fauna that consists of a yard. It's not, to me, it's not a monoculture. I do have an awful lot of ground plantain, and I would like to not have that. I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of that. But I think with a corn-based pre-emergent, which keeps annuals from growing, and perennials, which is a lot of grasses, will grow, and the corn-based pre-emergent preventer, seed germination preventer powder, I guess it is. Anyway, one of you, probably Scott Gillespie, who's going to be on the show soon, by the way, our agronomist in Canada, is yelling back at the podcast right now. But in Real Simple Magazine, which I actually like, there's an article about how, again, what can one person do? And I know I talk about this every once in a while, and it's kind of got me again thinking to build a better hometown. What I do personally is in our little weekend town, it's a small town. It's, I think the glue there is really good. I have a email list that I send out announcements about town events. People will email me something that's going on in the church or a blood drive that's going on. And then I will make a kind of a nice email using MailChimp. MailChimp is free up to the first 2,000 names. So if you live in a small community, you're just fine. And so that's the one thing that I do. But there's a list in here from Real Simple Magazine, and I'll link to their website about it. But here's a couple tips to making your neighborhood a better place. Try a new store. If you're dissatisfied with your city's downtown, the best way to improve it is to shop and spend time there. Engage business owners in a conversation and learn their story in additional ways you can support the economy. I mean, stores that are not franchises or chains, it's really hard nowadays to keep those open. And I'm one to talk because I say if you want to support Amazon, Garden Fork, you could use your Amazon. When you're shopping on Amazon, use our link, which is gardenfork.tv/Amazon. The flip side of that is when I need to buy mason jars, I go down to my local hardware store and buy them. I can buy them at the giant grocery store, the mega chain grocery store, which is actually owned by a European company. But I make a point to go to my locally owned hardware store, and it might be a dollar or two more, but I buy my canning jars there. And then I usually need something else, and I'm like, oh yeah, I need those brackets. And they actually sell really heavy-duty brackets that the big home improvement stores don't. Like I needed these giant, well, I don't want to use the word that I usually use, these heavy-duty brackets. They're like farm quality. You know, commercial farm quality brackets. And the only place I knew that had them was my local hardware store. And then I went in and it ended up that they had some hoses on sale, so I bought some hoses and stuff. And they're also just good guys. They know a lot about the town. So yeah, try a new store and support your downtown. Number two, look out for a neighbor. I do this a lot. I have a neighbor upstate and a neighbor down here that I just check in on them both. A lot of people are very reluctant to ask for help, and I've found that instead of asking them what I can do, I just go do it. Oh, I did this thing for you. And they probably needed it done. You know, you saw that, oh, the yard needs to be mowed. They need a ride somewhere. Or, oh, they needed milk in their fridge. So a lot of times it's better just to go do it. They might get a little cranky at you, but I bet really they needed it done. So look out for a neighbor. And it might be something really subtle, like they need winter clothes. It might be a single parent with some kids, and it's not outwardly obvious. So there might be some diplomatic checking in there to see what's going on. Number three is turn off your engine. Yeah. How many people this happen? I see this happening all the time. They're in their car, the windows are up, and they're looking at their phone. And I think a lot of people are on their lunch hour doing this. In the city, I see this a lot, where people are just sitting in their car with the engine running, and they're looking at their phone. And I'm like, you don't need the engine on to charge your phone, first of all. You can turn the key onto the accessory mode, and that turns the battery on and allows the radio to run and a USB power to run. So you're just putting dirt in the air that we all have to breathe. So turn off your engine. Reinvent the carpool. If you can walk to school, how about seeing if some of the other kids in your neighborhood could walk to school as well? And you could lead all the kids, and then you could do kind of like a share where a different parent every day will walk the kids to school. I don't know, that's possible. Or if you drive your kids, maybe you all could drive different kids to school and then not idle your car while dropping them off or waiting to pick them up, you know? Sit by the street. Yeah, you could just... There's towns where there's always somebody in a rocking chair and they just wave at everyone. And then people honk back. And unfortunately, this has become an issue because the other neighbors don't always like the honking. And this has unfortunately become... It gets in the news because it's a controversy. But, you know, when people drive by my house, I just wave. And then my friend would be like, who's that? I'm like, I don't know. I just wave. You know, hey, you know, when I'm working in the garage... People can see me and I'm like, hey, what's Eric doing? I was building a wooden boat this weekend. Well, trying to build one. That's for a future video, but I'm trying to design my own plywood boat. So we'll see what happens with that. Number six, pay for the basics. In Detroit, we've heard about people that are getting their water turned off to their houses because they can't afford to pay the water bill. So there are some groups that have started to pay people's utility bills that can't do it. Let me see if I can find, it's called the Human Utility. So yeah, throw in a couple bucks. I mean, many, many small actions make a big action. So you could throw in a couple bucks and 100 other people throw in a couple bucks. That's a water bill for someone, you know, so they can have clean running water. So share your skills. Reach out to your local senior or community center to volunteer. I can say for sure that your community center could use some help. There are some that are a for-profit thing, so just check in. But I know in our town, it is definitely it's totally nonprofit. And a number of my neighbors go there and volunteer for just 4 hours a week, and that is a great thing. There are some seniors that might need a ride. There are some seniors that might need their lunch dropped off or their dinner dropped off or just talking with them. I mean, it's a huge thing. So volunteering in your local community center. Check your Department of Aging Services, Department of Senior Services. It's usually called Community and Senior Services, or just ask at the town hall or even just send them an email. You know, what the heck? So turning the page. There's a lot of these. I don't know if you want to listen to this or not. Pay for kids' school lunch. Big controversy here where kids that their families can't afford the school lunch, they don't get to eat. Again, there's I don't have a website for that, unfortunately. Brighten up a dreary spot. If you have a long, that long gray stretch of industrial concrete is so uplifting. There's a big thing going on called chalk art. And I mean, you have to check with your town, but if there's a wall that's kind of ugly, chalk, you know, it washes off. It's not permanent. A lot of towns, I think, are reluctant to have a mural because then after 5 years, the mural paint starts peeling off and then it has to be maintained. And I can attest to that. Here in the city, they'll paint a mural, and then if no one's there to maintain it, it starts to go pretty quickly. But chalk art, yeah, for less than $20, you got a big, big box of chalk, and go at it, you know? A street sweep or a litter sweep are organized a street-based or neighborhood-based cleanup. You could target a particular area, maybe off the highway that collects a lot of trash, work with your town about picking that up or the local highway department. Yeah, what the heck, you know? Care for your elders. This one suggests actually working with a group of neighbors to watch after someone. You could all take turns. Does their dog need to be walked? Do they need a ride to the dentist? That kind of thing. Talk to the librarian. You could volunteer at your library. Are they going to say no? They might say no, but here's something that my neighbor says a lot. If you don't ask, the answer is no. So think about that. Yeah. Join a giving club. There is the 100 Women Who Care, an international group with more than 500 chapters whose members learn about pressing needs in their area, pool their money, vote on a cause to support. Since the organization's foundings 11 years ago, the group's donated a collective $17 million. So visit the website 100whocarealliance.org, or you could raise funds from your own social circles. Do you have a Facebook group? I think you can integrate PayPal, or you could just link to a PayPal account or a GoFundMe account. Check on that and let me know. radio@gardenfork.tv. Get your hands dirty. Is there a patch of grass that's in like a right-of-way or in a median strip that's just a mess? Sometimes doing is better than apologizing is better than asking permission. I've done this a couple of times in various roles where something is a mess and I just go fix it. And they're like, I have my work coveralls on sometimes and people think I work for the city. Do you work for the city? No, I live down the block. Oh, that's great. And then I guess I should invite them to come work with me. You know, just get a paint roller. And if there's some graffiti, there's a driveway near us that gets a lot of graffiti. And one of my friends, he just paints the doors. It's what's called an absentee landlord. The owner lives somewhere else and could care less about it, really, as long as he's getting his rent money. So, yeah, so you live there. Make it look nice, you know? That was number 15. And I think that's it. But that was from the August 2017 version of Real Simple. There you go. There's also in our town upstate is a Facebook group run by another friend of mine. And that's another way to rally people around something. You'd be surprised. It just kind of takes one person to do a thing. And then you can just go and run with it, you know? So talking about salmon and smoking and cardboard boxes, okay, what's Eric doing now? A really long time ago, it's one of the early episodes of Garden Fork, and I actually just watched it. It's a two-parter. It's like 18 minutes long. I'm like, wow, I would edit this a lot differently now. I had hair on my head, and I was just rambling a lot of the time. But you can use a cardboard box to smoke food. It's totally okay. The thing about it is that the cardboard is not going to catch on fire because I think the combustion temperature, which is the heat temperature, not a flame being applied to it, but just a ambient heat temperature that cardboard has to be at is about 350 degrees for cardboard to combust? Who's our scientists that are listening? I'd like to hear from you. radio@gardenfork.tv. But I basically put this is called a hot smoking. I have an electric skillet with a beat up cast iron pan. You could also just use foil with a heat diffuser, one of those things that's it's also called a waffle. Have like four layers of heavy duty aluminum foil to make a pan that goes on top of the heating element. And I take wet smoking chips. You can do hickory, you can do oak, apple, you know, really whatever makes you happy, you know, mesquite. And then I will brine the salmon. I cut it into, it's a big fillet, and I cut it into strips. You can also buy these, I've seen them at Whole Foods, pre-packaged in fillet slices. They're about an inch and a half wide. And I brine this in a saltwater solution that has 2 quarts of water, a half a cup of salt, and then 2 tablespoons of cinnamon and a clove of garlic crushed in there. You could put really whatever you want. Some people put coffee grounds in there to give it that kind of flavor. And I let it sit in there at least an hour in the refrigerator. And then when I take the salmon back out, I try and dredge it along the bottom of the bowl. So I scoop up some of the cinnamon, and that will, or maybe you could stir it up and then pull the fish out, and the cinnamon would then float and land on the salmon. And then you need to dry the salmon a bit. And I don't pat it with towels because I think that rubs off all the flavoring that we just put on there. And yes, some of the flavoring is brined into the meat by using the salt solution, but there's also the exterior coating, which I think is important. So I take a grate. Actually, I got a grate someone was throwing out in the trash from an oven, but you could just use an oven grate from your oven, lay it on there, and I elevate it on 4 yogurt containers or some coffee cups you got laying around, and I take an oscillating fan, and I try and dry the salmon as best I can. I put a towel, an old dog towel underneath there to, in case any of the brine drips off, and you just throw that in the washing machine. And that's about an hour. And then I fire up the smoker, the cardboard box smoker, which is better looked at than tried to be described. Basically, the bigger the box, the better. You have a heating element, you have your cast iron, you have your wood chips in there. And then I've got 2 wooden dowels that go through about 3/4 of the way up the box, and the oven grate sits on there with the salmon. So I literally lift up the salmon on the grate, and I just walk it out to the cardboard box, which I have sitting on, I have like a work table, one of those folding work tables that it goes on. And then I just fire up the electric skillet. I turn it up to high. I found that mine, it really doesn't smoke unless you have it on high. I turned it up to high and then turned it down thinking, oh, that'd be better. And it just, the smoke didn't kick in. If I keep it on high, it smolders much better. And we're doing a hot heat smoking here, so that's okay. And then I just let it go. And I found that about 45 minutes works pretty good. Salmon is cooked at about 150 degrees, but I found that that temperature needs to go a little higher, and you might want to rotate the fish, lift up the grate and turn it 180 about halfway through the process so that all the fish is cooked about the same. You could also put a little fan in there. By the way, this is all inspired by Alton Brown and a good Eats episode he did. So kudos to him for that. There's also a lot of YouTube videos about this, and ours, a new one will be coming out today as I post this. And then, boom, it's done. I use a high-quality meat thermometer, a digital meat thermometer, because I had plugged in, you know, one of those timer/thermometers with the flexible braided steel wire with the little thermometer probe that you can stick in a piece of meat. I had one of those, and then I had my fancier thermometer, and I discovered that the probe one is not accurate at all. And then I use the higher-end digital thermometer, which I'll link to in the show notes here, and it works great. So big difference there. So you might have to open up the box once or twice, but overcooking is actually, at this point, I think is okay because it is brine, so it has a lot of moisture, and you'll get a nice bark on the outside, and it's pretty cool. And you made it in your yard. You know, smoked fish is expensive, so this is a way to make it less expensive. So there you go. Those are my thoughts today. Some community activism and smoking salmon in a cardboard box. And it's kind of all wrapped into one because I did something for my community. I talked about how to find weeds in your yard to eat. Maybe people spray a little fewer chemicals. And I also got people to think about smoking food in a cardboard box. Nice, huh? So let me know what you all think. I love to hear from you. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. And also, if you want to leave a review on iTunes, that's an excellent, excellent thing to do. I know other podcasts keep harping you on that, but that actually helps us show up on the iTunes suggested page. And that's really how people find Garden Fork. That or our YouTube videos. Oh, and I don't know if you know this, but you can listen to Garden Fork Radio on YouTube now. If you just type in Garden Fork Radio, the channel will pop up. And this is posted on iTunes and YouTube. And I think it goes to Stitcher as well. I'm not sure about that. All right. So let me know what you all think and make it a great day. See ya.